Hi, and welcome to another Kirky Free Sermons podcast. We hope that our sermons help you further your understanding of the Word of God and guide you into your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether you're tuning in on podcast or radio, we're glad that you're here today. Let's jump into this week's message.
Will you pray with me, please? Father, Heavenly Father, God, as we gather here once again today, it is our prayer, and it is my prayer, that as your Holy Spirit comes, our hearts and our minds and our bodies would be so touched, intimidated by your presence that we would be speechless. And we would recognize you for all that you are, and that would only be a start. But thank you for your word that comes to us today that can create, can move, and transform for eternity. Come, Lord Jesus, in your spirit. Amen. The great command of God. Our response to His being and His character. Our response to His creation and His existence can only be found in His Word. And we're going to spend some time in His Word today. The great command of God comes, Matthew chapter 22, verse 26 through 40. A teacher, an individual, comes to him and says, "Teacher, what is the great commandment to the law?" And he said to him, "That you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And Mark adds, "with all your strength." Verse 38, "And this is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Total love to God. Total. Heart, mind, soul, strength. To love your neighbor. The golden rule, of which we have a hard enough time sometimes just on our own, and as we think of our friends and families, our neighbors, and those around us in this earthly world, let alone to reconsider today in the kingdom of God to love God totally. Why love God? Why should we love Him? Well, that's where we're going to go into Scripture today. Why should we love this awesome creation that has been resonating through the Sunday school hour and through the hearts and lives of people as I've had the privilege to connect with this morning? Why love God? In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the earth, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And then there was evening, and then there was morning one day. And then the Lord said, let there be the expanse in the midst of the waters. Let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expansion. In verse 8, and God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning and a second day. And we continue on. Our God of creation and all that exists. We love God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and we beheld His beginning. I'm quoting it as I'm trying to find it here, but as we come to Him, and He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being by Him. Apart from Him, there was nothing in being. In Him was life, and light was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. We love God of our creation and all that He has done for us, all that He has given to us. The Apostle Paul, as he comes to the area of Athens, and as Paul was waiting for his support team to come there, his spirit was invoked within him in Acts chapter 17, verse 16, as he was, behold, a city full of idols. Full of idols. And as he was reasoning in the synagogue, and then in verse 22, and Paul stands up in the midst of the people and he says, men of Athens, I observe that you are a very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar that is with the inscription to the unknown God. What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. Verse 24, the God who made the world and all that is in it, since He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, does not dwell in the temple made by hands, neither is He served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself has given life and breath to all things. Our God of creation, He made from one every nation to live on the face of the earth. Verse 27, that they would seek God and perhaps grope for Him and find Him, and thought He was not far from them. For in Him we live, we move, and exist. Amen? We have a God of creation to worship. We have a God who is in control to worship. And Paul's heart is moved as he sees the emptiness in the culture, as our heart should be moved as we see the emptiness in a culture, in a world, in a people who want to deny a God of creation, who want to deny a God who is in control. It should grieve us and move us. If there's a main text for today and feasibly next Sunday, it is Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, in different parts of it. But Acts chapter 20, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Our God, the Creator of it all. We've spent some time in the Psalms in Sunday school, the Psalms testify what we read there, but in Psalms 33, starting with verse 6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of His mouth, all their hosts. He gathers the waters from the sea together as a heap. He lays up the depths in the storehouse. All the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and he stood fast by his word. My God, your God created it all. For those, for some of us, and those within our Lutheran background, the Apostles' Creed, what? I believe in God the Father, creator of the heavens and the earth. Amen. Without a God of creation, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. And to acknowledge and know all that he has given us. Psalms 104, the testimony. And I'm not going to read all of that, but if you want to have some time, but it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed in splendor and majesty. You cover yourself with light. You stretch out the heavens like a tent." And it talks about, in verse 5, he established the earth upon its foundation. You cover the depths with your garments. You send forth, in verse 10, you send forth the springs and the valleys. He causes the grass to grow. And that whole psalm gives tribute to the glory of God, our Creator. Do you know that? Do you remember that? Are you here today ready to grasp hold of that awesome God has brought all of this together? Holding it down. If you're somewhat following in these verses in chapter 26 of Psalms, just verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. As we sang, we stand in awe. So why do we worship God? Why love God? Why love this God of creation? Why do we love and worship Him? Exodus chapter 3. I've always loved this portion of Scripture as we encounter God. Exodus chapter 3, and Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the prince of Midian. He was the flock in the west side of the wilderness, came to Horeb, the mount of God, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire in the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, and yet the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, "I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight and why this bush is not burned up." When's the last time you and I have been drawn by God to observe something and made that commitment? God, what are you showing me? What's going on here? I'm going to check it out. We check it out today. And when the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." And then he said, "Do not come near. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground." We come before the presence of a holy God. And where God comes to us, as we see and hear, God says, he also says, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people in Egypt, and I have given heed to their voice." And that dialogue goes on. In verse 13, and Moses says to God, "Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me.' Now they may say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I tell them?" It's a legitimate question because Moses grew up in Egypt. And as we really look at what's going to come down the road, the 10 plagues that come, and we may talk about those a little bit next week, but those 10 plagues that are there are basically standing up against the frog gods, the gods of the water, the gods of all of the life. They had so many gods in Egypt. And Moses, in a sense, would be totally aware of that. He spent 40 years of his life there. He says, so what God are you? Fair question. Fair question. God answers. God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am God. Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me. The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob. And to go to them. See, when it comes to God, there is no other. Let me put it to you in my normal way of put it. When it comes to my beverage of choice, it is not Coke. It is Pepsi. There is no other. I don't care what, if you like Mountain Dew, it's Pepsi. There's no other beverage. Oh, when it comes to you farmers, some of you, it's green, right? There's nothing else. Forget this red stuff. It's got to be green with some yellow accent on it. When it comes to God, there is no other. There is no other. I am. If we were to go through the Gospel of John, I'm being drawn to it for maybe down the road, but in there are seven, actually eight in my mind, I ams, where Jesus says, I am the door. There's no other door. I am the vine. There is nothing else that you should cling on to and grow on. It's the same I am in the language that translates through the era of Jesus. I am. Holy. Holy is our God. There is no other. So why do we worship God? Why should we spend time coming here to worship God? Well, hopefully we're establishing that a little bit in the God of creation. But God continues to develop that. In Exodus chapter 20, then God spoke all of these words. He says, excuse me. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, bondage, persecution. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or in any likeness of which is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters under the sea. You shall not worship them and serve them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children unto the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Our connection to the God of creation. Our connection to the God who brings us and saves us from slavery and bondage to a gift and promises of eternal life. Our God, whose name is holy, there is no other name, is a jealous God. A jealous God. And when we move from allowing God or having God or responding to the God of all that we have talked about, God is jealous. God is jealous. That's why we worship Him. That's why we respond, because we know who He is. We know that it is the Lord, our God of Israel, the God of the Jews, the God of the Christian church, the God of the world, the God of scriptures. There is no other. And when we don't respond to that awesomeness, we create a problem between us and God. We create a division. We create a jealousy. Because God, in His holiness, can be jealous legally and properly. Holy jealousy. Because He brought us out of slavery and bondage. He still sits on the throne. And we shall love the Lord your God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and have no other gods before us. We do. When we worship others, when we worship idols, jealousy comes out. Exodus 34, verse 10. And then God said, "Behold, I am going to make a covenant. Behold, all your people will perform miracles. Before all your people, I will perform miracles which have not been produced in all the earth, nor among any of the nations, and all the people among them who live will see the work of the Lord, for it is a fearful thing that I am going to perform before you. Be sure to observe what I am commanding you this day. Behold, I am going to drive out the Amorites before you, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites." Verse 12, "Watch yourself, that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land in which you are going, lest it becomes a snare in your midst. But rather, you are to tear down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, cut down their asherim. For you shall not worship any other gods, for the Lord your God, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they pay harlotry with their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and someone invite you to eat of his sacrifice. You shall take some of his daughters for your sons and his daughters and play harlotry, etc. In verse 17, you shall make for yourself no molten gods. Did you hear that word jealousy in there again? Without Him, we're lost. We're in darkness. We inhabit the land. We live our lives. But do we truly worship Him? What do we bow down to? Do we live for the God of entertainment in our lives? For the God of retirement, to the gods of business and making a living, of politics, of family? Have we come here today knowing we're coming and gathering and pulling and praying for the Holy Spirit to come and bring us into a holy presence of God? Not in icons, which they can be tools, but in truth. Do we worship angels more than we worship God? He is a jealous God. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Starting with verse 12. Deuteronomy 6:12. Then watch yourself, lest you forget that it was the Lord who saved you, brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Let's paraphrase that. Watch yourself, lest you forget that it is the Lord who saved you from your sin, who delivered you from the world of drugs, materialism, self-righteousness, heartache and misery. Verse 13. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. Verse 14. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the people that are surround you. For the Lord your God is in the midst of you, is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth. You know all the problems that the children of Israel have throughout Scripture? It's because they went after idols. Their gods. And they didn't worship the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, strength. And God's wrath in his jealous character had to deal with it. And I want to make sure that we do not get caught in the idea of God's mercy and grace to cloud our image and our response to this holy Creator, saving God. In some of our circles, as we've talked, I think one of the problems, the struggles that we as so-called evangelicals has lost in our worship is an approach to God in casualness and a lack of reverence. The fear of the Lord in thought, word, and deed. Isaiah can build on that. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, starting with verse 5. Thus says the Lord, who created the heavens and the earth, stretched out his hand, who spread out the earth and his offspring, who gave breath to his people, the spirit to whom walk in it. Verse 6, I am the Lord your God. I have called you to righteousness. I also hold you by the hand and watch over you. I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open the blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, to those who dwell in darkness from the prison. Verse 8, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things before they spring forth. I proclaim them to you. And we could go on. Verse 10, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise to the ends. God will not share his glory with another. Do you ever get jealous of people who love you, who start loving others? Remember those days, guys, when you were dating and you had your girl and there something would happen where maybe she would be talking to somebody else or somebody else was showing her some attention? Did that ever stir within you a little bit of jealousy? And maybe that person is far gone from your life, as we're talking about. I totally understand all of that. But when you think of our struggles in life and love, when all of a sudden my wife and I go back and forth with our little grandson, when sometimes he loves me, he smiles when I talk to him and not to her so quick, and then vice versa. You know what? There's going to be some jealousy there.
Oh, that's just things. And well, I think we're going to talk about more of that stuff next week, but picture God and our love to Him when we cheat on Him and we love others and other things and other goals. He is a jealous God. I am very intentional this morning and all of these verses of Scripture because I want to establish within us that God will not share His glory. He is a holy God and a jealous God. I'm not going to read all of this portion of Scripture. We're running out of time here, but in 1 Samuel chapter 5, the Ark of the Covenant has been taken from the children of God, the place where people would meet God, the place where God had touched and anointed this Ark of the Covenant had been taken and brought into the foreign lands and the cultures. And they took the Ark and they brought this Ark and they set it in the same temple to this room where their gods was, Dagon. Remember the story? And they put the Ark in there. And the next morning they came and what had happened? Dagon had fallen over. God would not share His glory with another god in the same room. And so they took this altar and Dagon and they put him back up and they you know, everything's fine. And, you know, it must have been a little earthquake or a strong southern wind like we're dealing with today. And he come back the next day and then what? The God was again dumb. Now His arms and everything have been broken off. God will not share His glory with another. And it has not changed this side of the cross. Idolatry and idol worship must not come between me and my God. I must not allow that to put God's jealousy in play. And neither should you. And neither should I. His jealousy will continue. One more portion of Scripture. Naaman. One of those small prophetic books in there. There it is, right after Micah. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 2. A jealous and an avenging God is the Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserves wrath for His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. And the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In a whirlwind and the storm is weary, the clouds are the dust beneath His feet. He rebukes the seas, makes them dry, and dries up the rivers, etc. A jealous God. I've been challenged these last 2 weeks through some articles that I've been reading, one by Kirk Whelum and another by a sermon by Charles Spurgeon, which have influenced a lot of my thoughts here this morning and for next week, because we have a jealous God and we want to respond to Him. Thoughts that have been written for us and through us through Scripture moved in the hearts and lives of men and God for us to be remembered as we have come here this morning. That we serve our God of creation, a God of deliverance, a God of salvation. And He deserves, and it rightfully requires, a pure heart in worship, and nothing, nothing should ever come between us and God as we worship and come to Him. As the worship team comes and prepares for a closing song, will you pray with me, please? Father, forgive us. Forgive me when things have come between me and you. When my worship has been fluff. When my heart has been distracted. And when you are not number one. You are not holy. And my response to you is not a top priority. The distractions of life in this world pull at me. And you don't get what you deserve from my heart and my actions. Holy God, eternal Father, comes to us through your Son Jesus, who draws us and guides us and humbles us and teaches us by your Holy Spirit. Move in us, not just now, but day by day, to respond to that holy, holy God. In the name we pray of Jesus. Amen.
This message was brought to you by the Kirkhoven Evangelical Free Church of Kirkhoven, Minnesota. If you'd like to get in contact with us, please email us at kirkefree@gmail.com. That's kerkefree@gmail.com.